What is up, you beautiful people? Welcome back to the Built on Bitcoin podcast, where you know what we do here. We talk about everything going on in the Stacks ecosystem. And today, I have Chris Castiglione on the podcast. You may have seen him around as Castig or Castig.btc around Twitter or on Discord. And Chris and his team are building something called Consul. If you haven't seen any of these announcements yet, they're trying to build a Discord for Web3. And there's a lot to unpack in that. You know, we've seen the scams on Discord. People can just jump in, you know, hop into your DMs and send a link that looks exactly like something else and empty your wallet. And so there's an aspect of what they're building of this, what is kind of talked about as a decentralized identity, which allows you to have verifiable chats with people. So I know that because you hold that .btc name, you are JakeBlockchain.btc. And so you're not just faking the funk and using his profile picture. And I think I'm getting, you know, I'm 90% there. This really opens up a lot of good discourse when you know you're talking to that other person that's on the other side of the computer. So I think that's super interesting. There's also, you know, with crypto, there's always an economic aspect. And it really makes sense to have, DAO tooling and maybe a treasury built into some of these communities that they're talking on Discord. And so they're doing something with that as well. We cover a lot. There's a lot of aspects, and it's a super, super interesting conversation. Chris is it's hard to put into words. He's just got great energy. I love talking to Chris. Fantastic interview. Let me not say any more, and let's just jump right into this interview with Chris Castiglione, co-founder of Consul.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Chris, how you doing today, my man?
Hey, man, I'm great, Jake. Happy to be
good,
here.
Good, good. And just make sure I get it right. How do you pronounce your full name?
You can just call me Castig, but it's Castiglione. But
Castiglione. You sound like you're part of you belong in like the Goodfellas or something. You're part of the family.
Well, Sopranos was filmed in my town, so.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, I've seen your name around. Castig is a prominent name around the Discord. And I'm excited to have you on. I've been seeing what you've been building in different kind of aspects. I saw you on the GitHub page, on the grants program, inquiring about a multi-safe something or other. So I'm like, okay, he's building, you know, some kind of like Gnosis safe type of tool. And then at Bitcoin Unleashed, you gave this super impassioned presentation. I think everyone was like on the edge of their seats. It was, you could just tell your passion in how you're presenting this. Like you couldn't wait to just show Consul to the world. So I never just open there with, you know, the broad question of what are you building? What is Consul?
Thanks, Jake. We announced it at Miami just a few weeks ago, and Consul, I'm excited, to share it with everybody because it's been something that we've been working on in stealth for about 7 months right now. We started last August, and Consul's Web3 Discord is really what it is. And it's also going to be a lot more. It's going to also have a lot of DAO tooling, and it's going to be open source. And I think like the real problem we're solving, I mean, there's a problem with Discord, which a lot of people, I think, seem to agree with. It's very noisy. And also, you know, as I demonstrated in Miami during my talk, there's a lot of hacks on Discord. You know, millions of dollars are lost seemingly every week, every month. Like I recounted a few of them through the Mutinate Ape Club and the ticketing tool and a lot of these things. But in addition, it's not just about the loss of money on Discord or the noise on Discord. It's really that these are competing with the trust that we have for our organizations. And if we want to bring people together, bring tens of people together, hundreds or thousands of people together and do amazing things, we really need to just have a lot more signal and a lot more trust in the people we're coordinating with. So that's the bigger mission of Consul. And it'll be launching this summer, and there'll be a lot more I can share with you in this talk.
Love it. Okay. So I love the idea of a Web3 Discord, because you know what Discord seems to be like. They're kind of gamer first. It's kind of their biggest cohort that they interact with, and crypto has kind of adopted it. And we've seen some interplays of like MetaMask maybe bringing it on. There was a bunch of pushback. You know, you're opening up too much of a gate too early, or not in the right way, I think, was how the community was taking it. And I want to deep dive on there's tons of nuances there of trust and pseudonymity and all these things. But before we get there, I want to go back to you and your history. Kind of like, what's your background before you got into Stacks? Kind of like what you were building up until you made the jump into building on Bitcoin.
Yeah, sure. Going all the way back, I in college was obsessed with Napster and BitTorrent. I just, as a music major myself, I just found it fascinating that from my bedroom, literally I can just share music that I was playing with and just like distribute it all over the world in this kind of like peer-to-peer way. You know, I think maybe, you know, I definitely dating myself a little there, but like, I just like before that, it just felt like there wasn't like before Spotify, like there wasn't really a way to kind of get your stuff out there, and to do it in like a free way where people could just connect with me fascinated me. So I changed my major from a music major and started to learn to code. and then my master's was basically in P2P distributed networks. Like I was just fascinated. Fascinated with this. So that was where I came from, and I was a developer and I was learning to code and all of that. And then I got really interested around 2011 in teaching people how to code, because I felt like, wow, I'd been giving this creative power to like make things. Like I could imagine things or coordinate with my friends. Like we could make like, just like, I don't know, like a million startups, like, and most of them failed, but a few didn't, you know, a few of them were great. But just that process, it was really just a lot of building confidence, building skills. It gave me autonomy. I could travel anywhere. And so, yeah, I started teaching people how to code at General Assembly. I was part of the founding team here in New York, and then went on to start my own company called 1 Month in 2013. And that was when I found crypto, because my co-founder and I, Matan Griffel and I, we applied to Y Combinator. And when we got in, they fly you out to Silicon Valley. And I was pretty young and I'd never been to Silicon Valley. And all of a sudden you get there and it's like the future. All of a sudden there's like something called a Lyft that picks you up. We didn't have that in New York yet, you know? And I don't know, Seamless and like all these things are like, it seemed like so normal there. And Bitcoin was one of those things. People were paying each other in Bitcoin and buying things on Silk Road and all this kind of stuff. So that's how I got on my radar. And soon after I met Muneeb, because Muneeb had went through Y Combinator as well. And he really just kind of turned this vision on about the future of the internet and how we can own our own data and our own identity and really just all the amazing things about, you know, the decentralization of Web3. And, you know, he was talking about that in 2013, 2014. So since that was, I've just had this bug to just contribute and just be part of this. And so last summer I left my Web2 company teaching people how to code. And yeah, I immediately jumped on the opportunity to build something on Bitcoin. So that's the long story short, or maybe kind of long story about how I got here.
That is fascinating. So you were at General Assembly until last year?
No, I was at General Assembly in 2011 through 13. Yeah. Okay.
Got it. Yeah, I talked to Kelly from Blue Studios, who's in the accelerator currently, and she went from JP Morgan to General Assembly and was a teacher there. And that was kind of her first little foray into being more entrepreneurial. And now she's building on Bitcoin too. It's interesting too. You have a peer-to-peer like systems background, and that seems to be a lot of people in Stacks that like they seem to be they understand the blocks that blockchains inherently have. And so that they build very deliberately in a way that it's going to scale over time, that, you know, when you see something like some of the competitors, they're making trade-offs at layer one that is people that understand the systems better seem like they're just like, it actually makes more sense to build on Bitcoin. Was that one of the things that caught your eye too?
Oh yeah. I mean, Bitcoin definitely. And then even just the vision, you know, so there's something you learn in Y Combinator that's drilled into your head, and that it's not about the idea that a founder has, but it's about the founder, right? Paul Graham used to use the word fortitude. Like, is that person going to wake up? Are they, you know, if they hit a brick wall, are they going to keep being scrappy and figuring it out? Do they have that fortitude? And it's about investing in the person. And, you know, that was just really drilled into my head. And that was, you know, when I saw the people working on Stacks, I think the fortitude of this team to build something decentralized, like truly decentralized, even if it meant launching late, you know, after Ethereum and Solana or like all these things that we didn't even know about, you know, I think they had the first, in some ways, the first mover advantage. And I think that in some ways they really took their time because of their appreciation for the long game of, I think, you know, that's why we're all here. It's just the long game of what we think is possible if we put decentralization first. So yeah, between the people and Bitcoin, I was like, no, this just makes sense.
Got it. Yeah. I think, it's an interesting word, fortitude. And I definitely, when I look at how long Stacks have been being built, cause like I got here in May. And so there was already like, you could stack there was a lot of buzz. Things were coming, you know, Arcadico's on the way, Alex is on the way, NFT marketplaces start popping up. But I got here kind of at like the fun part. And it's like for years before, there's just people coding and thinking through really hard problems and having that fortitude to just like focus on the mission, because you know that like over a long enough time horizon, you're going to get there.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think Stacks was definitely thinking about Web3 and like publicly in 2016. You know, there was conferences that Naval and Snowden and Balaji were all part of, and nobody else was doing that at the time. There's also a joke that somebody's like, "What'd you guys talk about back then? Like how the wallet was so cool that you could just set," because it wasn't like it was still being built. It was so. Now there's, you're right. Now that you come, there's whole ecosystem of like, I can't even keep up with all the projects. So
yeah. And you can get a snippet of what it might have been like, because you guys would have town halls on Zoom, and it was just like, you know, he was at like a whiteboard and people were just like talking, and it's like, whoa, this is so different than, you know, seeing Stacker chats and, you know, all this different stuff. Being a fly on the wall would be cool back then. Okay, I want to start to deep dive into Consul more aggressively now and explore some of these topics. I'm curious, what was the biggest pain point you saw first when you started to get the idea for what you were building?
I think the pain point was mostly that, wow, there was quite a few things. And like, to be honest, where we arrived with a Consul, the first thing we did was we had some hypotheses, and then we tested those by just interviewing tons of people. I want to say we spoke with probably 50 people and had just like intense, like hour-long conversations. And we had a team of 9 people that were working with us to like do interviews and do design experiments. And this, you know, we went through this process over about 2 months to really kind of like test our hypothesis. So our first hypothesis was actually one that I think might be wrong, but it's maybe interesting to share, was just that people would want to log on and just have completely anonymous like conversations with like wallets, right? That was like one, like a space where just Bitcoin wallets could talk to each other. That kind of, people didn't want that in what we found in our research, but we did find that people like the idea of the BTC name, which is like, it makes sense. And like, you know, your BTC name verifies your identity, and then having like verified chat there. So that started to become really attractive. And people had a problem with that. You know, the second problem was just Discord was really noisy, and people just wasn't onboarding people. People didn't feel, it also felt like it was one type of person. If we want to make Web3 inclusive, you know, I think we want to have tools that more people can use besides, you know, gamers and hackers, that like, it takes a little work to get onboarded. And I think that makes it tricky. And then the third problem we saw was just that there was a lot of really great innovation happening with DAOs in Ethereum. And some of those primitives, those building blocks were missing on Bitcoin. So that was the big vision. How do we bring Gnosis Safe to Bitcoin? You know, how do we bring off-chain voting, but that we can secure it with Bitcoin? So we put all this together and, you know, after a lot of testing, came up with Console, which is, you know, we're just calling it like Web3 Discord because people get that. And then beyond that, you know, there's a whole suite of modules is what we're calling them, and that extend it with this kind of DAO tooling.
Okay, very cool. You mentioned, so I haven't heard that anonymized chat thing. I don't know if I'd use that either. So I could see why that I could see why that maybe wasn't the one.
Yeah.
But the ENS name and the BNS name, like this kind of like having reputation and a decentralized identity online. Some people get it, you know, Reddit is probably like the best example of kind of what it feels like, where like you build this pseudonym, you do get karma reputation, but you can't carry it anywhere. So like right. if you get banned or you delete it, you have to restart fresh.
Right.
But you kind of do, you get some sense of loss or some sense of like value from I've built up these 1,000 karma points because I've been providing value. And so that's where you guys are starting to unlock it with a BNS name. I just have to explore that a little bit. Like first, how do you think about that of verified identity, decentralized identity, and especially in this like Web3 is so pseudonymous heavy, where everyone's so privacy focused. How do you feel about that blend of having a persistent identity, but also being privacy focused in this current era?
Yeah, I think there's two things to unpack there. I think, you know, one is that some people have needs, they want to be pseudonymous. You know, we definitely found that in a lot of the research and a lot of people we talk to, people want to be pseudonymous. And also certain or types of organizations, people do want to be accountable and to have a kind of persistent. So I'd say people want to be anonymous, and then some people want to be like pseudonymous, where you carry the name over from different groups. With Console, we're giving people really the option to explore the level of pseudonymity that they want. So there can be communities where everyone's anonymous. That's totally fine. You know, we found in the Megapont group, chatting with some of the people there, that there are some people that haven't entered Megapont because they, you know, even just getting on Discord in some ways potentially doxes you, just because of the nature of having to carry around your avatar in certain places and or just even having the Web2 username and password, like it's tied to like your credit card. Like there's all these like kind of points where you could potentially be doxed. And some people that are really serious about that, they just don't even enter the community at all. And you know, I think the community is at a loss if the biggest supporters can't potentially join. So I think Console offers that granularity where certain communities can set up their own rules and they can allow anything from anonymous to pseudonymous to like, you know, maybe just verified you have to be, you know, something with Citycoins, you know, which is a project to support local cities. This isn't confirmed by any means, but there's like ideation to potentially have, you know, local IDs, right? Maybe maybe your ID is tied to your zip code, for example, or, you know, or some NFT that is non-transferable that only you can have that verifies that you are in fact geolocated or pay taxes in that city and that your voice should be amplified. So I think there's a lot of possibility that can be explored with identity. But the one thing I know that doesn't work is just how broken identity is in Web 2, because bots, anyone can spin up a bot, anyone can spin up and when I say anyone, I mean, I need to do some tweet storms about this, but you know, there's just a lot of recorded, like if you look at what Russia has done in past elections, just as one example, I mean, just spinning up tens of thousands of bots, you know, and just like unleashing them on Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff. So it's these swarms of potential disinformation and amplification of the noise over the true signal of the people that are trying to coordinate.
Well said. Something that comes to mind, you see it with like Twitter, we have like blue check accounts, but especially nowadays, like you're seeing with this new era of scams where they'll buy a blue check account, make it look like a Moonbirds account, make the website look beautiful. Like it almost checks all the boxes of what trust should look like before. And I was on a call with the BNS working group, and they were talking about the danger of trading your BNS. Like, there's a BNS marketplace on Byzantium. And so there's this kind of like push and pull of, as you build trust in a name like Jake Blockchain or Castig, but if for some reason you decide to sell it, if someone else commandeered it, they would go into something like Consul and would assume all the built up trust that is would currently be there. Is that safe to assume? I'm just trying to think through that. That question popped up in my head.
Yeah, it's a really great question that I don't have a definitive answer or a really strong opinion on. But I know that that's been a debate among certain people in the working group. And I guess to just reframe it, it's, you know, the idea of like, if you have some verifiable identity, whether it's your BNS or even just an NFT, right? There was a well-known Megapont person, I just won't say the name, but who sold their NFT. And, you know, when you're talking in Twitter and the feed or in Discord, and you see that NFT, you just kind of instinctually, you just trust that that's that person. And so it also brings up the question about like, should you be able to trade your NFT if it's like, you know, if that becomes your identity? I don't know. I think it's tricky. I think I would like to see at some point, I think this is just like big thinking, and I don't know exactly if this is the technologies here for this yet, but I think at some point having some kind of like zero knowledge proof ID where we can all verify that we are, you know, in a non-transferable way, that I am who I say I am, and I can share that data, maybe my credit score, and I can say like, this is my, you know, whatever information you need to, don't even talk to me about buying a house, right? You try to buy a house, you have to give every single piece of data that, you know, that ever could be used to hack you. And then you have to just put it in an unsecure email and press send. So I think we do, you know, a lot of the experiments in Web3 are happening in Petri dishes, you can say, that want to bring on the rest of the world. I want to onboard and be more inclusive for like everyone else. And I think we need to think a little bigger. So I think the debate is really important. And I think we just need to run more experiments and keep building and see what's right. I don't know if that's where I'm at with that. Yeah.
No, I feel the same way. It's like, it's a question that's good because it is early. So like, there's no definitive answers yet because the market hasn't spoken. We don't know, or just like you said, like you could add on other levels of verification that maybe act in some small aspect of it, like at your computer level or device level, like all those kind of things. Yeah. It's just so early that like there's no definitive answers yet. So that makes sense. But the reason I asked is because when you start looking at things like DAOs, where people are starting to rethink what organizations look like or the future of work could look like, trust is a key component of that. And so like, that's one element where things can get thorny, but DAOs seem like they're going to be a massive sea change over the next 10, 20, 30 years for how we organize like completely. And that trust element is crucial, where like, I know who I'm interfacing with. I have your history. So that can project the end of the future at some level, and we can coordinate and build off of. I guess first, this broad question, like, how do you think of DAOs? You know, it's a question that like everyone's got different definitions. How do you define, or how do you think of DAOs?
Yeah. I take a really broad interpretation of the definition. I mean, putting aside that there are technically legal definitions now, I think just broadly about a decentralized organization, we could just say that. It can be a lot of different things. And, you know, we're seeing groups calling themselves DAOs that are really just kind of in Discord still. And they're just kind of putting together their roadmap. They're putting together their token plan. They're putting together whatever. And I think that's great. I think they are a DAO. Like in my eyes, they are just a decentralized group of people coming together to do something amazing. And I don't know that there should be, limits put on that, like creative limits, because we just still need to experiment more to really figure out what this is. And in my eyes, I see what's happening right now as like the third industrial revolution of how we organize. And so to put that in perspective, I see the first wave was the start of the modern corporation. So, you know, the C Corp, the LLC, all of this stuff, all of this really came from the first industrial revolution, which came from the invention of the steam engine and the railway, right? Fast forward a little bit, the invention of the computer in the 1960s brought forth a new way of organizing on this planet that had never been seen. You know, so we'd had, just to recap, we had governments, and then we had this thing, this corporation that I just mentioned, which was only in like the 1800s, right? So pretty recent. And then in the mid to late 1900s, open source software. So open source software now allows people from around the world to collaborate and make software together. And it's the kind of thing where if you tried to write it and say like, here's my business plan for how we're going to make Linux, like nobody would have done it. Nobody would have funded you. Nobody would have believed it, but it happened, you know? And then it happened again and again with Wikipedia, with WordPress, with just like, you know, Ruby on Rails and just tons of projects, right? And we all benefit from this. But there hasn't been a funding model, right, for how to incentivize open source aside from maybe karma or having alternative ways to make money. You know, Kevin Kelly has this article about, I think it's the 7 generative ways that you can build on free, right? So basically, look that up if you haven't. It's an amazing article, and he writes about it in one of his books. But the idea being that if something's for free, how do you make money? And so this list that Kevin Kelly's come up with pretty much summarizes the ways that like the open source movement has been making money. You sell the manual instead. You sell tutorials for how to use it. You sell maybe like a customized licensed version, right? But all of these are, I think, a bit distractions because now, you know, you're taking away from building in some ways. And so here we are at this third stage. Like Bitcoin is this new technology and it's giving us new ways to organize. So we look back, we have the modern corporation, we have open source, and now I would say the third wave is DAOs. And it's like day one of DAOs. Like literally, I know Vitalik wrote about it in 2014 for the first time, but it is just like the first year of experimentation. And I think we need a lot more experimentation over the next few years. All that to say, how I think about how Consul can contribute to that. Consul is in some ways trying to be unopinionated about how you create your DAO. You can be just a group of people. You can, on the kind of loose end, or you can be more strict and, you know, have everything on chain with your treasury and with your voting. But the interpretation, I think, can come at the human layer and the people layer to run those experiments, and people try different things and then hopefully report back and share that with the broader community so that we can all learn and continue to experiment over the next few decades.
Yeah, I think it's good. Like crypto does align a lot of incentives. So it's very good in that way. It has been hard for me, and maybe it's just because I come from more of a traditional background. Open source doesn't make sense. Like there's so many aspects of it where I'm just like, you're just going to give that away? Or like, where's your security coming from? My mind explodes every time I see how much people give just for the mission.
It's counterintuitive for sure.
Yeah. So hopefully as we have more experience and see what works, the fact that we see things that actually work, you know, like people are trying Constitution DAO. There's a lot of these DAOs that are for like a single purpose and they fundraise and you just like, you can amass a big group of people for that one thing. Some of those work, some of those don't, but we're gonna, like you said, we're going to see tons more experiments. And as we run those and we build on them, we're able to like abstract more levels of that to put them towards more open source and different projects.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. That's the journey.
That's awesome. Okay. I've got a couple more questions. I'm curious. So I think for most of us, the Trust Machines announcement was like, oh my God. Like Muneeb does it again. Like he's moving to this new thing. He got a new sum of money. We're going to get like these super amazing applications built on Bitcoin. And the two that have now come out of it that we know of are Zest is being built and Consul is being built. And I'm just curious because it's kind of a black box until you guys announce something. What's it actually like building inside of Trust Machines as a previous founder and that kind of thing? Like what's it like building inside that entity?
Yeah, thanks. So Trust Machines started, I guess we actually started last fall, more or less, but it was announced in February once the round of funding and everything, I guess, was finalized to announce. So yeah, Trust Machines is the company, but it feels like a lot more because we are part of this decentralized ecosystem. So there's a lot of support within the ecosystem, but Trust Machines is a company with a mission to build on Bitcoin, right? Is just to further what is possible with Bitcoin, make Bitcoin, you know, one of the most valuable assets in the world. And to that extent, we are funding different projects, somewhat like an incubator model in a way, but really just like in-house building these apps is really what we're doing. So yeah, myself with Consul and Tiho, who runs Zest Protocol, which is at zestprotocol.com. It's a DeFi Bitcoin app, are working within the collective, but also it's almost like they're separate companies. It's almost like they're kind of their own individual companies. I think the model was probably inspired somewhere like what Consensus had done in the Ethereum. I don't know all the details of that, but I know they had this spoke model and basically like these companies that kind of come together. And there's room to bring on new companies in the future to continue, yeah, to continue our mission of building on Bitcoin. And I guess the thing that's really neat, maybe I didn't mention yet, is that in between these companies, though, we can really share knowledge and operations, you know, things like hiring funnel, things like marketing, things like the budget. Like as a founder, to not have to do the, you know, because I've done the fundraising myself, and it's quite a distraction, you know, really as a founder to have to do fundraising for a few months, to have to do a lot of the operational stuff, even just like setting up payroll, all of that is can really be a headache. And so, you know, at the center of these companies, which is Trust Machines, we have people who are just the A++ people, I would say, and are just like the best at that, who are helping us do it. And I think it provides a real opportunity for us to build quicker. And I think it provides a real opportunity for Bitcoin, even bringing on Bitcoin core devs and some people even to work on some EVM compatible stuff to like, you know, make this stuff more friendly with other chains. So yeah, there's a big vision and there's a lot that we are, that is coming up in the next year. So I would say, stay tuned.
That's awesome. It also sounds amazing as a builder, just like all those little headaches of fundraising and accounting, yeah, all the backend stuff that detracts you from doing what you're best at or that makes you feel most alive. They just give you the infrastructure, just like go as fast as you can.
Yeah, it's been, I get to do what I love to do and focus on that, which is, you know, building products, talking with people who are going to be using the product and getting it out there.
That's badass. Okay. It's the last question I have on my docket. And the question is, what's the future of Consul? And even as I wrote that, I'm like, even just hearing you talk now, you're very iterative, it seems like. So I'm wondering, how far do you guys even think out versus like just doing these small experiments and, you know, building the product for the current feedback and customer base you're getting?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jake. Good question. So this summer, we're launching with our first DAO and it's going to be CrashPunks. So we announced that in Miami a few weeks ago. So CrashPunks is, they have about 25,000 people in their Discord. This summer, they're going to close that down, move over to Consul and start building with us. We've learned a lot working with them so far. And I think once they make the move, we'll also start to learn, you know, a lot as we watch them form and as we, you know, we collaborate with them. Consul is, at least for the first probably few dozen DAOs, working to be really collaborative and as hands-on as the DAO would like us to be. So we want to offer that. If anyone out there would like to start, you know, bring your community to Consul, we have an application online that you can apply. So I'll give that out in a second. And I would say, if you know, you can be a community, you can be a DAO. Like I said, our definition is pretty loose. We will have, oh yeah, and Jake, I can go over some of like the main features, but you know, the core feature will be verified chat. So verified by an NFT or an FT, so a fungible token. You have some kind of token in your wallet. If you only want to have a group that's people that have like one Bitcoin in your wallet, like that can be a group that you commit, you know, for example. Or if you want a membership, you could spin up a new NFT. We're working with our partners at Gamma. We're working with Stack Swaps and a bunch of different people. You don't even need to create your DAO. It could be Stacker DAO. You can work with the different people in the ecosystem. All our code is going to be open and, you know, you can use Consul for where the community thrives and grows. So that's the chat that we offer. On top of that, we'll have three modules. So treasury, bounties, and voting for governance. the treasury will be a lot like, I would say, Gnosis Safe in the Ethereum ecosystem. Our treasury, the one we're using, is called Multisafe, and that's at multisafe.xyz if anyone's interested in a treasury. The vision of Multisafe is pooling together stacks or pooling together Bitcoin and being able to basically just create a multi-signature kind of wallet, where it's basically like a safe because it's a Clarity smart contract. And there's a lot there that I could talk about as well. But so it's this treasury. The voting will be really similar to Snapshot. It'll be off-chain, but because Stacks gas is affordable, it's really affordable compared to a lot of other chains. We'll also have an on-chain option as well for anyone that wants that. And then we'll also have bounties, which is more or less like a Kanban board for organizing how things get done within your organization. So yeah, that's the next year. On top of that, we're looking to partner with people that want to contribute to the open source project, creating new modules, creating custom strategies for voting, and potentially even some EVM compatibility stuff to bring in other ecosystems that want to use it. So we're going to hand it over to the people who want to build and see the direction. So if there's people out there that like what we're doing and just want to collaborate, want to contribute, or want to come over, we're on Twitter, ConsoleDAO, at ConsoleDAO. So you can just come reach out.
Awesome. Excited. I mean, when I watched the presentation in Miami, I was super hyped. Hearing about it now, I'm getting fired up all over again. I think you've probably sold a lot of crash punks after the announcement, because everyone wants to see what this is going to look like once it goes live. That's all the questions I have. Any closing thoughts or things that I didn't cover you want to touch on?
I don't think so. Our website is console.xyz, C-O-N, so console.xyz. And if any communities or DAOs out there want to be considered for the first 10 after CrashPunks, then you can just go to start.console.xyz. And if you go to start.console.xyz, there's an application that you could fill out. And we'll have lots of sneak previews coming out over the next few weeks. And so, yeah, I would say just stay tuned to the Twitter, stay tuned to the emails that we'll be sending out. We'll have a lot of opportunities to get involved. And we'd love to hear from people that want to contribute or have ideas. We're open source. Let us know. I mean that not only in the code, but just like in our access, like just reach out is what I mean.
That's perfect. It was cool too to hear you're working towards being platform agnostic, and as this tool grows, everyone can take part in it, and you guys can become kind of like the hub at some sense of reputation and communities.
Yeah. You know, and I will say that, you know, we're starting on Bitcoin because we just see this huge opportunity. So if anyone out there is considering building a DAO or a token, we just see the possibility to do this on Bitcoin is just enormous. Bitcoin has the most liquidity out there. More people have Bitcoin than any other currency. Bitcoin is name recognition. It's the most decentralized, you know, currency out there. It is currency, right? It is real money that's being adopted by countries, you know, and not trying to knock any other chains, because I think a multi-chain and think that there's benefit for all the chains to have different use cases. But, you know, I just haven't heard a conversation where Solana is being considered by like a European nation to be, or like an African nation or like a Latin American nation to be used. You know, Bitcoin is currency. And so, you know, you put that together, and I think the ability to create Bitcoin DAOs that is new. I mean, this is the ability to do that is very new. And so we just see that as an opportunity. But beyond that, yeah, we're very welcoming to other people that want to build on top of console and bring it to other chains. Like we see that as the future as well. So
amazing. I think that's a good way to end it. I mean, we're going to see a renaissance of organization, I think, with DAOs, and you guys are playing no small part in helping that come to fruition. So I know I say for myself, but everyone else too, thank you for what you're building, Chris. I appreciate the interview, but I also appreciate you in general.
Hey, thank you. You're how I stay up to date on what's going on in Stacks and Bitcoin. So I'm super excited to be here. Like, honored to be on this podcast. And I really appreciate you taking the time today to ask such thoughtful questions. Thank you.
Love it. Appreciate you. Till next time.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
I know that things don't always go your way, but I'll be right here waiting.
I've been waiting now. I've been trying to figure out a way to make it out. Make it out, because I don't think about everything going wrong in my house.